Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast.
If you like a lot of wrestling on your YouTube, join our cult. Hello and welcome to the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast. Joined as usual by Mafu and his array of dog photos, joined by some pictures of old James Bond, and joined by the amazing Jack the Jobber and his assistant, Ross Twiddell. How are you doing, Jack?
I'm stressed. I'm really stressed, Matthew. It's been a busy day. It's been busy. How are you?
I'm sorry to hear that. That's okay. Fine. That'd be dozy. And how is little Ross?
Fantastic and big, as yes. Always.
That's a spirit we like to hear about the big lads here at Cultaholic. Let's start off with the news. Oh, it's good news to start off with, like it is every bloody week. WWE Raw does the lowest rating in show's history. The Monday, July 3rd edition, WWE Raw, so that's 2 weeks ago, but it's just rating to come up. Well, whatever. The show averaged just 1.56 million viewers over the 3 hours. And the all-important 18 to 49 demographic, because apparently everyone's talking about the demos, the show averaged 0.48, which is the second lowest number in the history of the show. So good times all round. What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, it was coming, wasn't it? They were hitting some lows recently. I didn't realise that so many over 50s watched wrestling enough to tilt the whole... It's weird. It's been a weird week, and I think people are taking it far too seriously.
Yeah. Well, I think the ratings are down because they're booking so many over 50s, and so that's actually taking the numbers down. And actually, should we talk about how you guys are doing, first of all? Because I've been listening to a lot of Conrad Thompson stuff, and he actually has some time... talking about, you know, he builds the world of Cultaholic. So we found out what the likes of Ross and Jack are doing. Because it's a lot more interesting talking about Raw. So, Jack, what did you do yesterday?
I came back from a few days off. I went to Tynemouth. It was less crowded than Newcastle, so it was more safe. Got the metro, wore a face mask. It was uncomfortable, but I'm not complaining because it's the right thing to do. Tynemouth's nice, isn't it? Saw that statue of Lord Collingwood looking over the river at South Shields and just had a decent, nice little time. What about you, Matthew?
Oh, I've been, what have I been doing? No, I wanted to ask you guys questions. I've been doing sod all. So, and I realise, yeah, you're probably doing sod all as well. Oh, damn it. Ross, what have you doing? Anything interesting?
Words? I got out of bed yesterday, Matthew, and then I went for a walk. And then I sat in my bedroom doing some work. And then I went to Home Bargains to buy a sieve because I wanted to cook some brown rice and I didn't have the sieve to drain it all out and wash all, what I mean, it wash off before you cook it. It's just been a fantastic time in all of our lives.
That is great to hear. You didn't try doing the pan and a plate there and try and get as much of it out as possible?
Not with these, mate. I haven't got the dexterity for that sort of thing.
Ah, oh, that's right, aye. Just put it over the rice itself and just burn you, whatever. Rusev reveals he has COVID-19.
Mm.
DDP as well, wasn't it, this week as well?
Has he?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. He'll fix that in a few days, though, DDP. Do some downward facing dog. Be all right.
Now a bit of yoga can't fix.
Exactly. Charlotte is off due to surgery complications from the last time she had surgery, I believe. I hope this isn't... get her in some sort of recurring circle thing where she's always having to go back to fix previous surgeries or out. But yeah, it's a shame we didn't build up anything for her to be leaving, but Ah, well. Any other thoughts about Charlotte, Jack?
I didn't, because I've had a few days off, this is all actually news to me. So this is actually like hearing
news. Oh, literal news. Oh, okay.
Yeah, great. Yeah. That's a shame, though. I know that we all had a bit of a go because she was appearing on all the brands all the time. But separating the way that she's booked from the performer herself, she's really good. So I agree. I hope she's not, out for too long.
Apparently, yeah. It's because she's getting her own TV show, Meltzer was saying. Although nobody seems to know if it's a reality show or if she's going to be like a bit part player on some other existing TV show. A bit like Andy Carroll going on there. The only way is Essex, apparently, soon.
No.
That one. No, apparently he's there because his missus is Billy Mucklow, is it? Is she a part of TOWIE? I don't watch TOWIE. There you go. Charlotte having her reality show, potentially. Andy Carroll on his. All the big hitters in the world of sports.
Blimey. But what if Charlotte gets her own reality show, it's really popular, and gets higher ratings than Raw, and Monday Raw becomes Monday Night Charlotte?
Like it was for a few months there. I saw the Miz's new Total Wipeout show did more than AEW and NXT or something like that, because apparently ratings are the be-all end all these days. Oh. I'm sick of hearing about the ratings, mate.
Yeah, me too. I watched Tony.
I watched a bit of the Titan Games recently, the Rocks thing on Netflix. It was weird. It was really weird. Because you know how like on X Factor and stuff, everybody's got an inspirational story like, oh, I grew up without like a dad, or you know, like the sort of like, I grew up homeless and I've had to struggle for everything. But every single competitor has something like that. They're all like hench, like they're all massive. And then they act like they've won like the World Cup when they win that episode. And The Rock gives them like a hug. And he's like, proud of you, brother. You're a titan now. And then that's it. It's out of context. It means nothing. It's weird. They're a really fit person. And they've beaten other really fit people. And I don't understand what... There's no history to go off. The Rock's just acting like... There's not enough explanation. The Rock's just like acting as if we all know what the Titan Games is. It's bizarre. Have you seen it?
No.
I've seen something better, though.
Oh,
the Floor is Lava on Netflix.
Yes. Oh, I've been watching The Floor is Lava as well.
You want your backstory and your gimmicks. You want all sorts of professional wrestling tropes thrown in to a game show, Matthew. You watch The Floor is Lava.
It's not just the Royal Rumble.
No.
There's a room, Matthew, which somehow a volcano has gushed all of its lava into, and somehow like relics and things and boxes, and there's a coffin with a body and an alien inside. Sorry, that's somehow wormed its way to this room. And these trios teams, they come to this room and try to get from one side to the other. And they've all got sort of gimmicks and stuff. Like there was a loving mother with her two creepy kids who were just going off to college. You acted like 4-year-olds. You had three.
They weren't that creepy. The kids weren't that creepy.
You had these three creepy twin brothers, triplets. Sorry,
they,
obviously
they were creepy. They were creepy lads. Them. They were weird. Too many wisecracks for me from the triplets. Too much joking around. They weren't taking it seriously.
Yeah, that was the first time I laughed when one of those lads fell in the lava. And the best thing is, Matthew, no matter how they plummet into the lava, they always have to hold the pose and then sink as if they're dying. It's fantastic.
And the other two competitors watching are like, no, as if they've really fallen into lava. Okay. Even though it's just water with a red light on it. And Ross, what do you think of Rutledge, the host?
I've no idea who he was before, but I'm certainly aware of him now. I would love to go on The Floor is Lava just to meet Mr. Rutledge.
Rutledge would, I think.
Yeah, Rutledge would, that's the one.
But you only get to meet Rutledge if you win, Matthew. So you've got to win to get the honour of meeting Rutledge. He's great.
What does he do? Is he like... make your sandwich or shake your hand?
He's in the show very little for how important he seems to be. Yeah. He's just there at the end.
He hands over the trophy at the end if you are successful. And it's apparently a big deal to meet him. But as I say, I don't know who he is, so...
That's it, you have to meet him to know who he is. Awesome. Wow, this is the best news bit we've done in ages. Sebastian Bach of Skid Row has called out Jericho. The tweet says, where is the derogatory comment? All I ask to see is one single clip of you singing live. Every clip on the internet is you miming to a tape. I will sing in your effing face anytime. Wrestling is not rock and roll. I will show you effing rock and roll. Sebastian Bach. So Jericho, clearly the old gone wild there. Any feelings on Sebastian Bach or Skid Row or the idea of these two going at it?
I'll tell you what though, I have seen one live, phone recording of a Fozzy performance, and Jericho is clearly miming. It's only the one clip I've seen on YouTube, so who knows, it might have just been a one-off, he might have a sore throat at the end of a tour or something, but he was clearly miming. So there's something to this, and I hope they wrestle at whatever event's going to be next.
Something word fight in it, known AEW. New Japan, some crazy news, wasn't there, Jack?
So Naito was like the most over guy. He was like the Daniel Bryan at the start of this year. He won both the big belts, the world title and the IC title. Then obviously there was lockdown, so he's not been able to really enjoy his reign. There's not really been much of a reign to speak of. And now they're just taking it off him and giving it to Evil. Who would have thought that his stablemate would have betrayed him with a name like Evil? And his manager and his manager's Dick Togo now? And he's in the Bullet Club, and it's like they've accidentally hit like the randomize button, and it's weird. I don't really understand.
Yeah, it's been great. It's like, I can't believe Evil turned on that partner. Like, yeah. Who'd have thought it? I like that you say, is it Naito?
Mm.
I'd go Naito. Like a Scottish guy with no foot. And in happy news, Tegan Nox has come out as gay. Yay.
Fair play. Good for her.
Got no jokes there. Just thought I'd end on a happy note. But
why would you have
it's jokes? Almost that's almost like second or third place next to like the Flora's Lava and Rutledge, whatever that guy's name is. So awesome. What a lovely news bit. And we'll pretend that I've had exciting lives in between this and people could really think that we're real people.
Everybody get excited for the Cultaholic Hall of Fame.
And now time for everyone's favourite segment, the Hall of Fame. And in condescending order from last week, Twitch, streaming service, 25%.
Was that Pachiti's pick?
It was Pachiti. It's Pachiti's really ham-fisted way of getting people, the loyal people, to vote for the thing that we're doing. So people voted in with the advert. Thanks, guys. People with curly hair who haven't been able to have a haircut for ages, 37%. A lot of people sharing your pain there. Yes, the way Mafu thinks Americans say the word whore. You mean the way Mafu, who typed that up?
I did.
How Americans say the word horror, not how Mafu thinks so.
I saw upwards of two to three comments on last week's podcast going, I am American, I do not say the word like this. So I just thought I'd put it out there as a caveat, just in case, you know.
They're not real Americans. They're those wacky Americans with Canadian passports. Thank you very much to all the people that agree with me that it's very funny to see Americans say the word whore. I got away with that, apparently. YouTube was very okay with that. COVID's okay, and so are whores. So thank you very much. And people were keen to point out on Twitter that, well, Matthew, you're making fun of the way someone mispronounces a word. My pick this week. So I was at my mum's because they're getting stuff moved, refurbished. Need a big, strong man to come lift up stuff. And they asked if I knew anybody. So they're browsing Twitter because they could be bothered to watch Emmerdale. And what do I see? Edinburgh's Angry Swan Graffiti. And there's this one guy's post. See if I can do this justice. It's a picture from a newspaper that's got a bin, a public bin. It's got the words Manky Swan graffitied on it. And that's funny enough. But there's a picture, there's a photo of a swan looking at it. And there's a caption, "The swan stares on at the slur."
The swan looked disgruntled, to be fair.
I mean, the swan does look disgruntled. And then there's a second one that says, "Manky swans, can he read?" And then somebody looked. There's captions from it. Wait. There's captions from the article itself that said, "The disgusted local said, 'It's terrible what the swans around here have got to put up with.' The poor dad was just standing there looking at this awful insult." probably hoping that the wee ones didn't notice it.
Oh, God. Where was this?
Sorry.
Oh, he's gone.
Edinburgh.
Okay, but what was it? What media was it in the paper?
Christ. I don't know.
Okay.
It's just, you know, when someone like screenshots some stuff and puts it on Twitter and it's just in screenshot form. And some Scottish newspaper.
So you disrupted Emmerdale then for your poor mum?
Yeah, they had to pause it. Oh, God. So, yeah, the Edinburghian, whatever, graffiti against Swans. And again, if you just look, just Google search that and then just see the photo of graffiti there, Swans, whatever, and then the swan looking angry at it and the caption trying to make it look like this swan's thinking, how dare you? Anyway, that's my pick. Someone say something while I breathe. Jack.
My pick's not as good, but it's from the heart. So, obviously on AEW this week, and we'll talk about it a bit later, but Orange Juice was featured quite heavily. So my pick's Orange Juice, because it's just good. I just think Orange Juice, if it's a hot day, there are a few beverages more refreshing than a simple glass of orange juice. But my question is, are either of you no bits or with bits in the orange juice?
No bits.
Near bits.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm no bits as well. I'm glad we're all on the same page here, because I don't understand the people who go for orange with bits. I know it's meant to be more natural, but it just tastes manky, like the swan.
Manky.
I'm going to go for orange juice without bits in it. So that's my pick.
Okay. So if you see any graffiti that says manky juice near bits, come look at you, Jack. Any favourite brands of orange juice?
No, not particularly. I just like it. It's just good. Yeah.
Okay. I like when we get orange juice and blood tomato.
Hmm?
Ever had that?
No.
It's kind of weird.
Not blood orange?
I said blood tomato, didn't I?
Yeah, you did,
Because it's red. I'm not going to talk about blood fruit. Ross, what's your pick this week?
I presume it's from this week's NXT. Did Damian Priest take on Cameron Grimes? Is that from this week's NXT? So at the end of that match, Damian Priest's going for the pinfall and Cameron Grimes reaches through and gives him a little ball tickle as the count of three comes down. And to make the moment even better than it already was, a lovely hard cam ball tickle, obvious as the day is long. Tom Phillips on commentary is saying, "This must feel lovely," or something like that, for Damian Priest, while Cameron Grimes is giving him a little ball tickle. So there we have it, Cameron Grimes' little ball tickle on Damian Priest, accompanied by Tom Phillips, saying, "That must feel great for Damian Priest." Not enough ball tickle in the world, is there, lads? End of this podcast, we give it a bit. But there's not enough, is there? Between friends?
Well, you know, or soon to be friends. So I know you did a nice picture there, but sorry, what in context was he doing this? Was this a submission hold or?
This was Priest must have hit. I've only seen the pinfall, so Priest, I presume, hit his finisher move. He's gone for the pinfall to end the match. He's done the old pin when he's laying down on his back and sort of hooked the leg. Right. And then Grimes has reached through and woohoo.
Checking his temperature, right.
Yeah.
Checking his blood tomatoes are still working. Okay, that's yeah. Okay, I approve of that. Doesn't matter if I did or didn't, really. It's your Hall of Fame pick. Yeah. Those are three picks for the Hall of Fame. And none of them were blatant adverts. Wow. We're really spoiling it this week. So, how can someone vote for that? Don't worry, I'm about to tell you. Please, please, please go to patreon.com/cultaholic and vote for Manky Swans, Orange Juice, brackets, all of them.
No bits.
No bits. No, we're not going to have an option for bits and with some bits. That would be weird. Instead, we're going to go with the third pick being... how should we put this?
Cameron Grimes' ball tickle.
Cameron Grimes' ball tickle. There you go, near subtlety. One of these three picks can be yours for the low, low price of a Patreon subscription. Aren't you lucky? Next bit.
We're very grateful, by the way. We never put that across on these podcasts, but we are very grateful for your support. Without you during these times especially, we'd be completely buggered. Thank you.
Yes.
Let's keep that bit of, yeah, yes.
I've clapped now. They just think I'm happy.
Stop being, we'll keep it. You're right.
I say it in a silly manner, but they're completely right.
This week in the wrestling. It's this bloody week in the wrestling.
Only one way to follow that, and that is the week in wrestling. SmackDown.
Now, your disdain for SmackDown is fully justified this week, Matthew.
Oh, it was awful. And every other week.
Not every other week, but this week especially.
Jeff Hardy is the guest on Miz TV, also starring Morrison. Miz and Morrison mock Jeff and suggest his rematch with Sheamus should be a bar fight. Jeff accepts, although it's not official, before beating Miz in a singles match. Sasha and Bayley beat Bliss and Cross. Elsewhere in the women's division, Lacey Evans, Dana Brooke, Naomi and Tamina have a karaoke showdown. Wow, this is a cool way for them to be relevant and hip. You know, there's all those shows where people in cars are singing modern classics and all this. The songs they sung: Lacey Evans with My Baby Tonight. Dana sings Honky Tonk Man. Tamina sings The Game but gets stopped early because she's too angry.
Ross is livid.
Mr. Uso, the Uso with the juice, stood there and goes, you'll get 45 seconds to sing your song. Lasses, Tamina got all of 18 seconds, Matthew. And she was singing The Game by Triple H, who's got a long intro to begin with anyway. Disgraceful.
Oh, shocking. Naomi sings The American Dream, aka Dusty Rhodes' old theme, and wins. Lacey isn't happy. They have a bit of a match, then a brawl with the other two, and it all ends in DQ. And my comments say, it's awful. Why would you say that, Jack?
Because it was. It was really bad, wasn't it? First of all, I agree with Ross. Tamina got absolutely screwed out of it. But also, I think the point of it was that Naomi was meant to be good. But I honestly think Lacey Evans was actually probably a better singer. And the best rendition, though, was Dana. I think Dana should have won. She got really into it. But generally, the segment was just tripe, wasn't it? It was really bad. Ross, what did you make of it?
Has Lacey Evans turned heel because of karaoke?
Yeah.
She attacked Naomi from behind, which, you know, the baby faces together, aren't they? And she's turned heel over karaoke. it's a big step back in roughly 10 years or so, isn't it? Just, I don't know. And obviously the song choices, Brucey P is now obviously at the top of SmackDown. Who would have thought he was in that position just looking at those song picks? No idea what that was all about. Terrible.
Yeah, he sings at least three of them every podcast with Conrad. So no one would pick them. It's only songs he knows. So there's no segment afterwards where they went, you think this is about karaoke? They're still up the feud.
The best bit was, I think, Sarah Schreiber, the backstage interviewer. She's like, well, we can see some people take karaoke seriously there. Now someone who takes their professional, now someone who takes their job seriously, here's AJ Styles, just completely trashing them. And it was just like, you've knocked them down already. You knocked them down a bit further. Why the hell not? Terrible.
And now someone who takes geography seriously, AJ Styles. We get a full replay of Strowman's title defense against Bray from Money in the Bank. Whoa, I'm glad they show that again. Cesaro and Nakamura have a tag title match against the New Day. It ends in a double DQ and their baddies put the goodies through tables. Ooh, how was that, Ross?
It was fine. I like seeing Nakamura and Cesaro getting used, getting wins, but you've been through so much crap for the hour before. It's just sort of like, oh, we'll get through this and then the show will be over. I thought it was going to build to a tables match maybe at the horror show at Extreme Rules, but that hasn't happened. And neither has Jeff and Sheamus' bar fight. That's not official on WWE.com as of right now, so unless that's been scrapped because they realised this is a terrible feud we're doing at the minute, let's just quietly brush it under the carpet and hope nobody realised. But this, I can't believe how bad this SmackDown was.
There is still one SmackDown left, though, before Extreme Rules, so we might see a few of those matches confirmed.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I genuinely forget SmackDown's on until I wake up. So, it's a Saturday. I think I'll go outside. I think I'll... Well, that's pretty much it right now. And then it's just like, oh, yeah, SmackDown. But the important thing from this episode should be, Jack, what's your go-to karaoke song?
I've never done karaoke in my life, and that's a surprise.
Nah.
I know I love a bit of a sing-song as well, but mine would be Walking in Memphis by Mark Cohn.
Ah, any particular reason?
It's just an absolute tune, isn't it? It's just a great song. And then towards the end, you get to do the whole, when he probably goes for it, right, maybe it wouldn't be. I might have to rethink that because that didn't go as well as I thought. But Walking in Memphis. Ross.
It's karaoke. It's not supposed to be good.
True.
It's about ritual humiliation with friends. It's amazing. Ross knows all about that. What would your pick be, mate?
That's what I do for a living. I used to do Colourblind by Darius was my go-to years ago.
Wow.
That was my go-to going through uni. There was a karaoke night on a Monday. I was there every week. but then it sort of turned to Elton and George, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. Oh. Powerful song. Powerful. What's yours, Matthew?
Meatloaf, Bad Out of Hell.
Isn't that quite long?
Yeah. Especially when it, a lot of it's instrumental, so obviously the karaoke just comes up like guitar solo. So I'll go guitar solo because I'm a prat. When I went to Germany last, which feels like 9 years ago, I decided to do Genghis Khan by Genghis Khan, probably from the album Genghis Khan. And because it's a German, right? And I thought I'd learned or sung it enough times so I could sing it phonetically. The answer to that was no, but some of the Germans were quite happy because, one, I try to keep up with the dance moves as I'm dancing, which is a horrible idea at 3 a.m. And also because one of them came up to me after, he goes, oh, that was really good. No one sings this song anymore. I'm like, well, it's a classic, Eurovision, whatever. He goes, no. The lyrics are all really offensive. And I'm like, what? And I check, I went, wait, what's he actually singing about? They're singing literally about Genghis Khan. It's German for Genghis Khan, it's Genghis Khan. It's all singing about like going around and just, killing people and having sex with their wives and having lots of kids. I'm like, oh no. Well, there you go. Monday Night Raw. Drew and Dolph are guests on the VIP lounge with MVP. Ooh. They argue for what feels like a long time before Drew sucker punches Dolph and walks off. Dolph still doesn't reveal the stipulation. He's really hanging on to that, isn't he?
It's got to be something mint.
Do we want to talk about the Facebook post? Has that been confirmed and denied as official from earlier this week?
Oh, what was that?
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
It spoiled what Dolph's plans are. I don't know if we should speak about it, just in case it's true. Yeah, or should we speak about it on the off chance that it might be wrong?
Well, what's the big question? Is it what we're going to do with Extreme Rules?
I've got no idea what the big question is.
I don't actually know what the big question is. Should we talk about it in the big question?
I think that's what the big question should be.
Right,
you keep your Facebook post to yourself, young lad. Garza Andrade beat the Viking Raiders in an elimination tag match. It has a bracket. Ooh.
Well, I was just quite excited because you don't often see them, do you? Bless you.
Thank you. I tried to do it off camera. Didn't work.
You don't often see an elimination tag. I was like, oh, it's different. Fair.
Yeah, they try doing something different here, I guess. And just whatever. Bianca Belair and Ruby Riott beat the Iconics. Wow, look, Bianca Belair can wrestle. Isn't that great? I'm glad someone told Brucey B. Truth and Tozawa are about to have a 24-7 title match, but Shayna Baszler comes out and batters all of Tozawa's ninjas. She's back on TV. Ah. It's nice. It's like that. You ever have a clear around of a room, like a bedroom, and you just go, I need to sort this out, and you finally found all that stuff that you're going to like deal with ages ago, but you just put piles of like clothing on top. This is what this felt like. It's like, oh, Shayna and Belair. Oh, hiya. Rollins cuts a promo, but is cut off by Kevin Owens. Seth tries to orchestrate a beatdown alongside Murphy, but Aleister Black evens the odds. Black and Murphy have a match, which ends in DQ after interference from Seth. Rey and Dominic Mysterio are here to force Seth into a match of Owens, which he loses. This was definitely the smoothest way they could have booked this. 1-2-3 Brucey P. That'll be on a t-shirt next week. What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, it was really long. It was one of those Raw, because Raw is 3 hours long, it always seems to have one bit that just like stretches on for ages, and this was it for me, this match. Owens looked good, as he always does, but yeah. Ross, did you enjoy it?
I did. Raw was a show that happened this week as well. I didn't think it was particularly good. It was nice to see the familiar faces come back. Who knew that Ruby Riott and Bianca Belair were pals? I didn't. Ruby Riott, I think, got her first victory after 20 straight losses on the main roster, which I found an amazing stat. But my main, the highlight for all for me was the shades with Angel, the Vega boys, Angel and Andrade. How Andrade was sacrificing himself for Angel, as we all should probably, because Angel Garza's lovely. But I like that different strokes for the relationship and the thing with Zelina Vega. It was nice. Nice part of all that.
Yeah, I think they're definitely carrying the show. Must have sore backs. Orton squashes R-Truth and thinks about punting him, but Big Show interrupts. Orton challenges Big Show to an unsanctioned match for the Raw after Extreme Rules, and Show accepts to give us the rematch to one of the worst matches from 2013. Woohoo! I'm glad they have to actually build it up. Yes, I'm going to take you on. But not on the pay-per-view. Don't worry. We're building this one up. And then Lashley beats Ricochet, then beats up Cedric afterwards, because why not? The main event then sees Sasha and Bayley retain the tag titles against Asuka and Kairi Sane in a very good match and one of the only reasons to watch Monday Night Raw this week. What say you, Ross? Anything to add to those little bits?
No, just when you were running through the highlights there, my main bit was when Ric Flair was speaking to how great the Big Show's coordination was. He was just saying, Big Show, you got great coordination. Just that thing happening on Raw in 2020 was fantastic for me. And of course, Asuka versus Sasha was good as well. But when you speak about Raw, what's it called these days? Is it Raw Talk these days still? The talk show afterwards?
I think
yes,
so.
Yes, I haven't watched any of the new episodes though. Why? What happened, Ross?
I saw on Reddit the teasing a potential match for the championship between Asuka and Kairi.
Oh.
Kairi said it would be a dream, and Asuka was like, go on then, pal, let's have it.
That'd be
the tease in that. Because all I saw were videos of her playing the theme.
Yeah, they were saying, like, Kairi was saying it was a dream to take her on for the title. So unless they're just going completely off script, off the top of their heads on these talk show thingies, was it meant to be teased like that? I've got no idea, but I'd like to see it.
I'm glad that there was just so much stuff happening on a 3-hour Raw that they couldn't do that on that. Jack, any other thoughts on Raw?
No, but just on that Raw talk thing, maybe they're doing that thing that wrestlers do where they try and book a match that they want via saying stuff outside of the actual show, usually on Twitter, but maybe they're doing it on Raw Talk as well. But it's a good matchup, I'd like to see it.
I think Matt Riddle got called out for that when he tried to challenge Lesnar and Goldberg on Twitter. And do we have to know that news report that we said, can you start trying to book yourselves matches on Twitter? And then Fight for the Fallen, or as Jim Ross calls it, Fight the Fest 2. Cody beats Sonny Kiss to retain the TNT title and shows slightly heelish tendencies, like he does in every other match he has.
It's a slow burn. It's slow burn.
It's getting thicker week on week on week, though. The push-ups. The Kevin Nash pyro. Oh.
Yeah, the slow three-star burn. FTR beat the Lucha Brothers. The Elite attempt a peace offering, with the Bucks getting FTR's car keys back from the Butcher and Blade, who were dressed immaculately this week, gotta say. And Omega brought out a cooler of beer with all the Miller Lights fizzled out with pen. All right. FTR pour the beer over Omega's head.
Ha ha. Nerd.
Ha ha. And then FTR try and get in their car and they can't start it for some reason. We fade to black like the Sopranos. Happens to us all, man. Gotta check the clutch. Yeah, I enjoy Lucha Brothers. I think they're the best thing on TV every week in WWE or AEW. What do you think of FTR or Cody or Sonny or anything I've just said?
Who?
Ross. Sorry.
Those two tag teams were laying it on thick. They were slapping each other really, really hard, hitting each other really, really hard. It was good. Even Cash Wheeler was doing a tope suicida. No flips, just fist, my arse. I think it was like, no flips, just fist, you pair of hypocrites. There you go, everyone loves a rhyme. But it was good, wasn't it? And I like the sort of Kenny Omega descending into craziness, that entire thing, losing the plot towards the end of the match. After the match, sorry.
He certainly did in the Elite, beating the Jurassic Express in a 6-man tag. 5.5-man tag. Omega goes way over the top and beating up poor little Marco Stunt. So he's definitely turning face. Meanwhile, FTR appear to be making friends with Hangman Page. So it almost feels like the Attitude Era style of, oh, wait, are they? They're showing a bit, I don't know. I'll have to tune in next week to see what's happening. And I'm all right with it. I'm very much interested in seeing these guys trying to build this little universe that then Tony Khan will ruin on Twitter and have to make a joke of it. What do you mean, Matthew? Well, in the next segment, Jericho explained demographics to us. A certain owner of a wrestling promotion went on Twitter last week and started saying, well, we may have lost this, but we actually won the... and actually did all the boring stuff that I don't care about. Orange Cassidy then showed up, dumped orange juice. What type of orange juice, Jack?
That one did have bits in it. It had chunks, actually. It had, like, that one had quite a lot of bits by the looks of it.
Imagine if it had loads of bits and it gets knocked out by a full orange. and it says, like Carrie, but orange. That's good. Mm-hmm. Jericho is furious and tries to towel himself off, but the towel is an Orange Cassidy towel. Looking very silly. So this is the Demo King. What do you think about that, Ross?
If it's just a one-week thing, I'm fine. I don't want the Demo God malarkey to be a full-time nickname for Jericho, because I am just, as a wrestling fan, why should we care about the demographics? I obviously understand if it goes too far in the negative, maybe a show might get cancelled, but there doesn't seem any danger. AEW just got a new four-year contract from TNT or whatever, didn't they? So there's no danger of that happening. So I just don't care, and I'm sick of hearing about the 18 to 49 demographic, and now that's the important thing. Chris Jericho is taking a hot topic in the wrestling world and something that fans, by and large, that's a gist I'm getting on Twitter, that we don't like, and he's using it to be a heel. And that's fine for a week. I don't want to be a permanent thing. That's what I think of it.
You sit there and you talk about ratings. Demographic 18 to 49 says, I just beat you. Sorry, it's made up my head. And then Moxie retained the title against Brian Cage after Taz threw in the orange towel. Lots of oranges and towels this week. Gage attacks Moxley afterwards, but is stopped by Darby Allin. Set up a new feud, because it was Cage that knackered Darby Allin to begin with a few months ago, so that's all nice. I thought it was an interesting match. I'm surprised that Cage didn't get to beat Moxley, or wasn't more of a known finish. But what did you think, wrestling purist Jack?
I like how it was one of those matches where it's really good for Moxley, but it's really bad for Cage because he's been really nullified now, hasn't he? I've seen people on Twitter make the point that they've done this with Archer and they've done this with Brody Lee to an extent, and now they've done this with Cage as well. It's hard to strike a balance, isn't it? Because Moxley looks great. He looks like tactical. He went for the arm. He's winning matches in different ways. But then on the other hand, it's bad for Brian Cage. But I'm assuming he'll maybe break Darby Allin literally in half to get his heat back. So, I don't know. Also, sorry, I was going to say earlier when we were talking about the bit where the Revival threw the beer on Omega. I hate the Elite. They're so smarmy. I was really glad that they did that. Because you see when the Young Bucks were walking down going, you want your keys back? And then Omega comes out with the cooler of beer. And they're all acting like they're cowboys in a Western thinking they're really cool. And I just liked how FTR made fools of them. So that was my favourite bit of the show. But overall, on the whole, I thought it was really, really good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Did the Homer Simpson, I don't need your pity, and then took it anyway. Actually, I do need those, cheers. Yeah, that is something people have said about AEW. The criticism is the guys that are at the top, the Elite, they are good at what they do if it's an indie show. But every week you're like, these are the baddies, right? they're just dicks. So anyway, moving on from demos, because as we all know, the only demos that are important were the ones on the front cover of PlayStation Magazine, to NXT. Damian Priest beats Cameron Grimes. Oh, we know that, don't we? In the battle of guys who sound like they're from the same gritty HBO drama. Nice, Jack. I like that.
Thank you. Cheers.
And Keith Lee thanks Dijakovic for helping push him to the level he's at now. He also mentioned the late killer Tim Brooks, his trainer, who passed away earlier this year. So that was nice. It makes him his first challenger and wins later in the night. And I'm glad that they had Keith Lee Dijakovic on an NXT rather than a takeover, because I'm like, all right, enough already. But it was good for a one-off match. Unlucky after the match. What?
Oh, just unlucky.
Oh, yes, say unlucky Dom. Yeah. After the match, Scarlett appears and drops a broken hourglass on the ramp. Ooh. Backstage, Dijakovic is laid out by Killer Cross. What do you think, Jack, resident NXT expert?
No, that's Tom Campbell. But
is he?
Yeah, he does NXT greater than that. Yeah, of course he is. He did that Keith Lee song with Ross.
Oh, he's a Keith Lee Keith? Expert.
Oh, what? Well, yeah, the Keith Lee expert.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's 33% of NXT now, so yeah, I guess you're right. Majority wins.
True. But no, it was I think once we get to... I think Killer Cross presumably beating Dijakovic will be good. And then I think that when we get Keith Lee versus Killer Cross, it'll be good as well. So it's all good.
Shotzi Blackheart surprisingly loses to Indy Hartwell after interference from Alia of the Robert Stone brand. I love it, I have to say that. Later, Killian Dane demands that Stone gets him a rematch with Dexter Lumis. Oh, big lad. And then Io Shirai beats Tegan Nox to retain the title after a strong main event. And Dakota Kai attacks Io as she celebrates. So that's good as well. Yeah, I really enjoyed the main event. I like Tegan Nox getting a headline. And I like Io Shirai. Did you see any of this, Ross?
I haven't had the chance to yet. But I agree with that's everything fun. You just said there.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I agree with what I said as well. Any other thoughts there, Jack, on anything else NXT related?
Just the main event. Yeah, the main event was really good. I'm not sad that Io won because I think it was the right decision. But Tegan's such a good babyface that you kind of want her to win anyway. But on the whole, I'm glad she retained the title. But Tegan Nox is really good too. So I'm glad that she got a big standout performance.
Yeah. Also, Thatcher's Thatchercan. Just destroyed a collegiate lad in 2 minutes. And that was nice that they're having Thatcher do his collegiate stuff because it is something nice and different. That isn't a Gargano Cole style stuff. It's just something that not even AEW are doing right now. So, oh well, lad. And also NXT news to say Kevin Owens apparently at one point came out this week, attempted to go back to NXT.
Yeah. Well, everyone wants to, don't they?
Yeah. I was going to say, I think he tried to, but there was a line to get in, so decided against it.
I once tweeted, a few years ago now, I did a tweet that got quite a lot of traction saying, do you think when people have moved up from NXT to the main roster, they get really sad because they just want to go back to... In NXT, you're living with your mates, you've got an amazing facility, you're wrestling in front of a really hot crowd. And Tyler Breeze replied to it and said, no, it's all about moving up, it's all about... And he wasn't an arse about it, but he was quite firm, and now he's back on NXT. So I'm just saying, but no, he seems like a nice guy though. don't want any heat with Tyler Breeze. I'll never get over my Twitter war with Jeremy Borash. That was a bad time.
Oh, but that's what we always say, isn't it? After we say something negative, oh, he's a nice guy though.
He's a great guy though. Yeah, he's not sound like.
And that was the week of wrestling.
Let's have a rummage in our mail bags.
And now it's time to have a little look in the mailbag. Number one. Hey fellas, I'm writing to you from sunny Brisbane, Australia, where last Friday was a momentous day as easing restrictions meant I could at long last return to my local pub. Watching in patient awe as they poured that first post-lockdown pint of Guinness... It was like they were Paul Bearer holding the urn aloft, and I was their shorter, fatter, drunker undertaker. But my joy soon turned to sorrow as I saw a poster on the wall advising they have cancelled a Q&A event with Premier League legend Keith Gillespie due to travel restrictions. Admittedly, this has very little to do with wrestling, but it did make me think. What is the most disappointing legend you've seen advertised for a show? Thank you for all the amazing content which has helped keep me sane during these tough, pointless months of restrictions. It says, I've never said this word before, so guess what, I'm going to mispronounce it. Slaint, it says in brackets, cheers.
Oh, in Irish, slainty or something, yeah.
Slaint, aye.
I don't know what it is. Yeah.
And Brian O, and before I could even say the surname, it says pronounced... Emween Ick On. Matthew nearly has a stroke trying to read that name before. All right, I'll try again.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Brian O. Weenicorn.
Like, yeah, there we go. Weenicorn. Like, yeah. Is it like Moynicorn? Yeah, okay, right.
Yeah. Thank you very much for letting you know. Let me know how to pronounce these things, by the way. Most disappointing legend you've seen advertised for a show. Oh, it's a good one, that, because there's lots of those things around the place, isn't there? I mean, I missed Frank Bruno one time talking in a pub in Biker. Which one was? Off Shields Road, was like, Frank Bruno in person. And I was like, what? Get in. It's like 2 weeks ago, but they kept the poster up because Shields Road. It's like, but he's a legend, though. So I'm trying to think of a disappointing one. Have you got any?
I've got one for Ross, which is weird. I've not got one for myself. But I'm sure that Ross, but then it didn't happen, was going to play five-a-side with like Rob Lee or someone.
Oh, yeah. That was a thing.
Was it Rob Lee?
John Beresford got a kick about with him a few years ago. Never happened, though, but yeah. That would have been amazing. Newcastle United legends then.
What was the occasion, was it?
It was promoting something or other. I think Rob Lee's got a fitness machine or something these days, his job is, or something like that. And to prove how good this fitness machine was, they were asking local media outlets for to send people on for five-a-side, so obviously I was there to showcase how great this fitness machine was. Me and fitness machines. I can't think of a bad thing I've ever seen about a legend, though. Like someone who's not a legend being promoted as a legend.
Yeah. Because usually I go, yeah, they are a legend.
I've got another one, but it's, again, it's an ex-Newcastle player, and it's a good one. He was a really nice guy. At my uni, we had like the sports end of year sports dinner, and the guest guy giving out the prizes was Olivier Bernard, and he was lovely. He was such a sound bloke. Yeah, he was nice. I got to go up because I was the basketball captain and we'd won most improved, which is a bit of a backhanded award to win, but you know. And I had a little chat with Olivier Bernard, and I've got nothing but lovely things to say about the man. Great guy.
Yeah. One just popped into my head there from my graduation. Okay. There was talk going around there was going to be some big TV personality there. And then the talk descended to sort of like, oh, he does heaven. So we're thinking, oh, it's going to be Chris Ramsey. But it wasn't. It was the guy he wrote it with. He was funny, though, to be fair. I forget what his name was. He's got brown hair. You might know who it was, Matthew.
Is he a big guy?
Tall fella, yeah.
Oh, no, it's not. I'll say Stephen Petty, but...
I've got no idea what his name was, here.
No, I mean, either. It's not quite the same, but I think I'll share anyway. Rad Pro, local wrestling promotion that doesn't run anymore. Or maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I did the Paper Flyers one time. This is before I already got into UK wrestling. That advertised former WWE legend, and that's a quote. I went, all right, Rampage Brown.
Oh,
and I went, what? And I'm there looking at it. I was going with mates anyway because they were going for training. You know, well worth the £20. And they were, I'm going, I know a lot about wrestling, I'm not bragging, but I've never heard of Rampage Brown. Like, is he an old guy? Is he a classic dude? Like, what? Did he have a run in the 80s or something? I was like, Rampage Brown. I've looked on cagematch.net. Lost a squash match to Mark Henry one time, and he used to be on Sci-Fi. And they had the nerve to advertise him as former WWE legend. Completely and utterly shameless. But again, we went anyway, so obviously it worked.
It's good that these days Rampage on his own would be a draw. That's nice. It's a happy ending, I suppose.
Yeah. I wish I kept it, because he's just looking, what? Never mind all the stuff he's achieved. Former WWE legend. Anyway, question number two. Hi, lads. I recently had the misfortune of watching the Insane Clown Posse's 2000 gangster film, Big Money Hustlers. Oh my God. The sole Amazon reviewer calls it, I quote, the best ode to black exploitation done by the white men ever made.
What?
Glad they kept that in the letter. Aside from the fact that a huge chunk of the film was basically just softcore feeding porn, and then it somehow went 100 grand over budget despite looking like an A-level remake of Spy Kids. It's the weirdest review of that film I've ever read. Spy Kids. The weirdest part was extended cameo from Mick Foley playing Cactus Sack, which is the guy, the name they gave him when those DVDs that Insane Clown Posse put out in the 90s, where they basically just overdubbed the King of the Deathmatch tournament and just didn't pay IWA until they bumped into them one day, like, yeah, can we have some money, please? Anyway, he wrestles Shaggy 2 Dope in a warehouse and at one point pulls out Mr. Socko before looking directly at the camera and saying, what the F is this thing? The fact he agreed to do this film at the peak of his career during a year when wrestling was massive is so bizarre to me. I'm not sure what he was thinking. So my question is, what is the crappiest, most embarrassing wrestler cameo you can think of? Keep up the good work, lads. Matt. Yeah, I remember Foley talked about in his autobiography, he did that just so he could get his SAG card, because technically that means he's a proper actor. Have you seen that film? By the way, do you have any idea what that was about? Have you seen ICP's amazing? Look, I love the ICP. Like, their music's whatever, but they are just the funniest idiots you'll ever meet.
I
swear to
God. I know anyway. That once Sam got it in his head that if we had enough money, we should send me to the convention.
The Juggalos.
Yeah, and just see what I get up to or how scared I am. And I was not in favour of this idea. Sam was like, oh no, there's wrestling there. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd do very well at the Gathering of the Juggalos, though.
Nah, I think he's on the right track there. He'd be great. Whoop, whoop. So, okay, moving on to ICP, who, by the way, appeared in WWE, WCW, TNA, Ring of Honor, ECW. They'll be doing New Japan next week, teaming up with Evil. What is the most embarrassing wrestling cameo you can think of?
It's hard, isn't it?
I think I've got one. If you think no one. I wouldn't say it's embarrassing, but it does come up on Facebook like every month. But UK wrestling world will find it. Batista on Home and Away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is just like, wow, it's Batista. He's just walking around. Oh, hello. And then this kid's like, I challenge you. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, here's how you do this. And he gives him a convoluted handshake. And he's like, yeah, it's all good. But you could tell the kid who goes up Batista really wanted to batter him. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, cheesy handshake. He's like, yeah, but I'm gonna take your shins when you turn around, pal. Ross, you got any?
The only one that's coming to my head is not even wrestling. It's Status Quo on Coronation Street. And I don't know why it's there. I can't even think of anything. To bring it back to wrestling, do you want to talk about Status Quo Coronation Street with Les Dennis? Les Dennis, Les Battersby. I'm getting everything mixed up today. I've banged the table as well. I've broken my own rule.
Les Dennis is on Coronation Street, to be fair.
He is, isn't he? But
the best version of Status Quo is the version with Les Dennis. Yes, talk about it, Ross.
I don't want to, Matthew. It's a wrestling podcast. We do enough of the other stuff. All the wrestlers on the Big Show is a more recent one for me. The Big Show was enough, but then rocks up Mark Henry and Mick Foley and Rikishi, and they all sing I Want It That Way, I think it is, by Backstreet Boys. I think it's that one, because it's Big Show's anniversary with his wife, and it is what it is. That was the main reason I tuned into the Big Show was to see this cameo, because I heard of it before watching, but then I was just disappointed when it happened. Got it.
Well, you can tell Brucey P isn't booking that show, they would be singing American Dream. Jack?
I talked about watching the Titan Games earlier, and Robbie E was on an episode of Titan Games. He lost in the first round, so that's a pretty embarrassing cameo. The Rock tries to encourage him. It doesn't work. I don't know if The Rock knew who he was or that he was a wrestler even, but now he's Robert Stone on NXT, so that's fun. Good for him. That's the only one I can think of. Or Wayne Rooney in that Man United advert for some sort of liqueur.
Oh, I think say Wayne Rooney, we did the horrible trailer for X-Men. these weird, bizarre trailers where they have to have like famous people from different regions around the world to go, we need your help. And he's there like, hello. He's like, what? We need to find Magneto. Mag who?
Oh, God.
The one I've seen is like, it's Rooney, Evra, and Giggs in Old Trafford in like a box. And there's some sort of big meteor coming down or something. And Rooney goes, the boss says that a new devil is arriving. And then the only good actor out of the three is Evra, who's actually pretty good. But Giggs is nothing special. And Rooney's dreadful. Rooney's the worst actor I've ever seen. So Wayne Rooney is my answer for the worst wrestling cameo. Rooney's wrestling cameo was good when he slapped Wade Barrett, though, and Roy Keane got cross at him.
Also, it's funny because me and obviously Tom Campbell look at old SmackDowns from 2000, and you can look on that on the channel, whatever. But we looked at, because they were on UPN back then, they had cameo appearances in other shows because wrestling was just getting really hot. So The Rock appears in Star Trek Voyager in this incredibly forced, like, oh, look, we're going to the something planet for something space wrestling. Like, you can almost see the shoehorn to get him in. Like, oh, look. And then The Rock wrestles with 7 of 9 and gives her the rock bottom at one stage. And as a Star Trek fan, Voyager's pretty crap to begin with, in fairness, but that's one of the episodes you can go, yeah, I'll skip that on Netflix. Yeah. Still thinking about ICP, to be honest with you. But if you have any other thoughts, questions, or pondering, you can, of course, send them. Make sure your name's as complicated and long as possible to mailbag@cultaholic.com. And now it's time for the segment so nice they named a sweet after it, Reese's Pieces. I wonder if we get to the point where people are going to go, what are you on about? They didn't name, oh, whatever. Hello to the lovely Jack, the sensational Ross, and the the
effervescent.
Effervescent Matthew. I don't even know what that word means. The effervescent Matthew. Yeah, you know what, I'll stick with that. First of all, I'd like to thank the three of you and the rest of the Cultaholic team for providing me and so many others with quality content. Not just during the pandemic, but also every day prior to that. Ooh, steady.
Thank you.
I have watched and listened to almost everything you great lads have put out since your inception with the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast, the Classic Raw Review, hosted by my actual dads, Justin Henry and Tom Campbell, being constant highlights of my week. Bloody hell. As such, I've decided to propose something a little different for this week's Reese's Pieces, a 10-question quiz on Cultaholic itself, including complete the quote, quotations, who said what questions, fill in the blank questions, and good old multiple choice questions, with Mafu being the quiz master and Jack and Ross being the lucky contenders.
Ooh. This is huge.
Hope you guys have as much fun as I did scanning through the archives of podcast, watch-alongs, and punishments. Enjoy and with love, Mike Potter from South Africa.
Thank you, Mike. Oh. I'm going to embarrass myself here. This is bad.
I'm looking forward to reading out these Go on.
You know the story that Brock Lesnar doesn't know or care which WrestleMania he headlined when it was 19? I'm worried that I'm going to look like that. Because apparently someone was like, oh, Brock, you obviously headlined WrestleMania 19. And he was like, was it? All right, cool. And I'm worried that I'm going to look like that.
Yeah, you have to mistake him for Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
All right, so so there's multiple choice, so let's have to decide who. We'll come that one, come out. All right. Number one, on the WrestleMania 34 watch along stream, Anna Pacitti, our glorious leader, wanted to get a hashtag trending based on an anecdote that Jack told. Start off with Jack. What was the hashtag? Was it A, Jack hard on a bus, B, Jack's got a stiffy, C, Jack the throbber, or D, Jack the bus diddler?
Thank you, Matthew. It was B, Jack's got a stiffy, but Jack the Throbber was also mentioned, so that's good.
Jack the Throbber is a good pun, right? Yes, yeah. And yes, it was. Bing, bing. Question number two. On the inaugural Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast on the 13th of January 2018, the world was introduced to the prestigious Cultaholic Hall of Fame. Which of these entries were not in the first nominations to the Hall of Fame? Bonus marks if you can remember which entry won. All right, Ross. A, Home Bargains, B, Rusev, C, Triple H, or D, War Nev.
Is this what wasn't in the nominations?
What was not a nomination?
I'm going to go for Home Bargains was not a nomination.
Ooh, you're right.
Get it.
And I think I'll give you... You'll get.
By the way, I went back and watched that first pod, well, a little bit of that first podcast. Do you remember the dynamic camera work of Mr. Adam Pacitti with the camera zooming in and up and down and round he would go?
Yeah, why?
We were at the cutting edge of filmography the first podcast. What a...
Yeah, all stare directly at the camera together. Look like y'all having a squeeze in really tight on a London Underground and have no charisma or anything whatsoever. Oh, it was great. We perfected that formula. Anyway, I think what I'll do is I'll give 2 points for correct answer, and if it goes to the other person, they'll get 1 point. But they've said here, bonus mark, if you can remember which entry won. So this is still your question. Ross, get 1 point if you get it right.
What were they again? Rusev?
Home Bargains, Rusev, Triple H, or War Nev. Sorry, not Home Bargains. Rusev, Triple H, or War Nev.
Was it the game, Triple H?
It was not. Jack, for 1 point.
What? Well, no, I don't think it's fair because I've only got to guess
that right.
Two.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. It was Rusev.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. Number three. So, Jack, on the episode of the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast, Jack wants to describe Tom Campbell's boisterous laugh as a villain in a James Bond movie, B, a drunk lad at a pub whose team just won by a slim margin. It's good. C, a pirate escaping with treasure, or D, Hulk Hogan promoting Pasta Mania.
It's not D because I don't know what that is. A, so we got the drunk lad in the pub, the pirate, and the Bond villain. It's between the pirate and the Bond villain, but I can't remember what I said, but Tom's laugh is like a pirate escaping with treasure when he goes, ha ha ha! So I'll go for the pirate.
And you'd be right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be right. He is a pirate escaping with treasure.
Yeah.
Number four to Ross. Complete the short-lived, unintentional catchphrase of Mafu. Woof, woof.
Moo, moo.
Yes, you are sadly right.
What were the options given there? I'm interested.
It was, and it was just woof, woof, and a big line.
Ah.
Like, I wish I'd do a line through that quote. I don't even know what was happening then. It was just, I was trying to keep up with Pacitti's manic energy because I'm quite stoical. But Pacitti's like, yes, this was the best Monday Night Raw ever. I love the karaoke or whatever. So I'm just like, yeah, you're right. Words. Say anything that's in my head right now. Woof, woof, what? Moo, moo.
Is that, I wasn't there for that one, and I really regret it because it seems to have been a very popular, it lasted for weeks after.
It did. And it was like everything else. We couldn't think of anything to do with it, so it just kind of fizzled out.
Yeah.
Question number five to Jack again. The jingle of the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast 100th episode was sung by a special guest. Name that guest.
It was your mum.
It was my mum. Yes. She might be listening to this week's episode as well, so I'll again point out that she, I did the bit where she sung, and I dragged her off, like, what are you doing here, you mad bat? And she politely asked to get rid of that bit. So it's just really quite awkward. It's just like, this woman's singing, it cuts to us with the big firework thing.
Oh, yeah, the firework. That was so scary.
That was wow, that... You were terrified. We should have had the entire build-up of that, like, secretly filmed, just you going, like, it was a wild juggalo. Anyway, to Ross, one of the greatest rivalries in the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast was between Jack and Puppet Jack. When asked where Puppet Jack went following his absence, what reason did Puppet Jack give?
When was the absence? I can't remember this absence.
I think he means OG Puppet Jack, which I made like literally on the way there.
Oh, you had the bit of paper, didn't you?
It was so because it's this is 2018 when the World Cup thing was going. I saw at Poundland, they had these little, I don't know what the hell they're supposed to be, but little tiny like World Cup shirts. So I thought, maybe I could put someone's face on that. And then, oh, Jack's not here. I was like, wow, I'm glad I spent that quid. So I quickly printed off Jack's face and it was the original Puppet Jack. And I tried opening it, like cutting a hole in his mouth to make it look like he could talk. And everyone just went, "Are you going to have sex with him?" I'm like, "No, no, no, that wasn't, no." Okay.
Are there options, so, or is it?
No, it just says, "What reason did Puppet Jack give?"
Oh, where the hell did you start with that one? He'd. Oh, I've got no idea. Oh, what do you even say here? He'd been on holiday with Jack's mom.
Oh, it's close, but it's not right. He was signed to 205 Live.
Of course he was. It makes complete sense.
It could still be there this day. No one's watching. And back to Jack. Name the Cultaholic member who was quoted as saying, "I'm on thong, look out, me." Bonus marks if you name the pay-per-view watch-along as well.
"I'm on thong, look out, me."
I'm on thong, look out, comma, me. I am.
The fact that I was about to go, "I'm on thong, look out, me," is... it's... I'll go for Adam Pacini, but I've got absolutely no idea what the pay-per-view was. Thong Lookout. No idea. Backlash last year, 2019.
Yeah, it was Pacini. It was Rumble 2018.
Okay.
And Ross, theory question. Adhering to the Cultaholic watch-along drinking rules, how many sips and or drinks would one have to drink if a returning John Cena turned heel and successfully pinned Daniel Bryan in a Survivor Series match using an attitude adjustment?
So you got two turns, so that's two pints. You've got a title change. No, sorry, an elimination. So there's another one. You have to say this again, Matthew.
Yeah, no worries. A returning John Cena.
Return.
Turned heel.
Turn.
Pinned Daniel Bryan in a Survivor Series match using an attitude adjustment.
I'm going to say three pull drinks and three fingers.
God, you're so close. Two drinks and three sips.
Oh.
What's the logic there then? Is a return?
You turn. That's a down. Yeah. A heel turn is a down. Elimination, I thought would have been a down as well. And then the whatever else was there, I can't remember.
You sound very convincing, so you might be right. But I know this guy is clearly doing his research.
Oh, but an elimination can't be a down because you'd be down in nine drinks.
But we're lads like that, though, aren't we? Yeah, we're top lads. That's with true. All of the banter of a lad Bible times 10.
Yeah. And number 9 to Jack. Who won the category most improved of the 2018 Culties / Diddlies? How dare you try and pretend these were the Culties? They've always been the Diddlies. A. Baron Corbin. B. Carmella. C. R-Truth. Or D. Drew McIntyre?
I'll go for Carmella because I remember I nominated Carmella, but I don't know if she won.
Doing really good, Jack, yeah. Exactly right.
Was.
Yeah.
Mint.
I nominated Corbin that year, I remember, because his promos and matches have got better, even though he was unbearable.
Yeah.
What a compliment. All right. Final question. Fastest thought first. Name as many of the first 50 wrestlers featured in the... Oh, Christ. Featured in the Grammy-nominated smash hit What Happened to That Wrestler by Adam Pacitti. First one to run out of names is eliminated. Good God. Is there actually 50 here? There is actually 50.
Oh, okay. I'm not too familiar with this at all, but I'll give it a whack. Okay.
Well, it's yours to start off with, so you say one and I'll confirm it.
Mason Ryan.
Say again. I think you think what?
Mason Ryan.
Yes. They've typed down Mason Ray. I assume that's Mason Ryan. I don't know who the hell Mason Ray is. Jack.
Stevie Ray.
Ross.
Earthquake.
Jack.
Alundra Blaze.
Ross.
Oh, do you have to do them in order?
Nah.
You don't have to. I mean, that was
Bam Bam Bigelow then, Matthew. I'm just going to say ones I know.
Ooh.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah, it must be.
Oh, yeah, there he is. He's hiding. That's right, Jack.
I'll go for Godfather's hose.
That's right, Ross.
Vader.
Say again, I'm sorry, your thing keeps on going in and out.
Vader. I've never seen this video in its entirety before, so I've got no idea. God, this is tense.
I'm gonna check it again, but I cannot see him. Yeah.
Mason Ryan, Stevie Ray,
There's Dave Taylor, Terry Taylor. Kind of sounds like Vader. Yes, he isn't. I'm glad they didn't, because he was probably dead when this came out, so. Oh, a lot of people are dead on this. Never mind.
Yeah, it's fine.
Vader is not on this.
Oh, what a shame.
That's really lucky because I'd ran out. I was going to go for Funaki, but I don't know if Funaki's in there.
Well, they go the manager from Kai and Tai.
The manager from Kai and Tai, in brackets,
Mr. Fuji.
The manager from Kai and Tai. Oh, yeah, that was...
That was Wally Yamaguchi.
Yamaguchi-san.
Yeah.
No, not Mr. Fuji at all. He was Mr. Fuji.
Mason Ryan, Stevie Ray, Earthquake, Lundra Blaze, Norman Smiley, Zach Gowan, Bam Bam Bigelow, Adam Johnson, Tori Wilson, Buff Bagwell, Robert Guitarist singing it, Robert Gibson, Dave Taylor, Terry Taylor, Godfather, Godfather's Hose, Dwayne Gill, Adam Bomb, Michael Hayes, Corvon. Corvon. Who's Corvon?
Len Marcus Corvon.
Monty Brown.
Yeah, okay. S.A. Rios, Jim and I, manager from Kai and
Tai.
I have to check that back, because it's been a while since I've seen it. I hope it isn't Mr. Fuji.
I was going to say, I hope that we've got it right in the video. I hope it's not Mr. Fuji.
This guy's
up.
Just slurring your good name. Kai and Tai, Jim Powers, Francine, Jack Swagger, Mean Gene, Gene is spelled J-E-A-N, Fat Chick Thriller, Duke the Dumpster, Oklahoma, Mantar, Billy Kidman.
Mantar's the big, he shouts Mantar.
Yeah.
Oklahoma Mantar.
Sminoff.
Hmm?
I think there's some typos here. Nikolai, Zukov, Brooklyn Brawler, Moscow Mauler, Raven, Oliver Raven's Flock, Crime Time, get sick of this. Vic Grimes, Max Mini, Alex Riley, Two Dudes of Attitudes, Man Mountain Rock, Big Cat, Simon Dean, Captain Lou and the Machines, King Kong Bundy, Big Boss Man, Michael Lawrence Potter. That's the guy who wrote this question, but he's put his name at the bottom.
Michael Lawrence Potter.
Actor and attorney.
Actor and attorney?
Yes, so I don't know who won or got points for that last bit, but the important thing is Ross 4, Jack 10.
That was a fun game.
That was an event. Thank you very much, Michael Lawrence Potter, for that.
Thank you.
And of course, if you'd like to join in the festivities and having your own little questions, quizzes, silly bugger stuff, please send them to mailbag@callholic.com.
And I have to say, just before there, I feel like I don't deserve that win because half my questions were about me and things I've said. So sorry, Ross.
That's fine. I just need to start watching the content we put out.
Don't be silly. Now, I think next week someone should attempt a Ross quiz. That's your task, ladies and gentlemen watching this, and we know that you are watching, the Ross quiz about Ross, to be answered by Ross. Near pressure.
It's Cultaholics. Big question.
Wow, what a great podcast. Yeah, it's one of those catchphrases that actually stuck. And the big question this week is, it's kind of a medium-sized question due to the Raw rating, but what will the stipulation be for Dolph Ziggler versus Drew McIntyre at Extreme Rules, the Horror Show? He still hasn't said. He's going to say on the show itself what it will be. Jack, you won that quiz, so you win the pleasure of answering first.
It's going to be something weird, because what have we got on the show already? Eye for an eye. And a swamp match, and maybe a barroom brawl. How many cinematic matches are there going to be? Is that three or two?
Well, the swamp match is going to be straight to DVD, so I'm not sure if that counts.
I think if he's clever, he should just do one that's massively in his favour. But I honestly think he's going to go for a ladder match because he's small and nimble, and Drew's big and not as nimble. That's I honestly just think he's going to say a ladder match and then Drew will win.
kind of see the strategy there from a storyline point of view, where it's like, you haven't had time to prepare for the ladder matches, and I'm king of them because I beat Cena that one year. But you'd think at the same time they'd want people to order this show, and ladder matches usually get people excited. Uh-huh. Like they get Kat excited. But yeah, I can see that working. It'd be a good match, and it does that suspense that, Ziggler is quicker than him.
And he can climb ladders really fast.
Mash X.
But I hope in my heart that it's something way more stupid.
Oh, what, like Drew somehow wins and grabs the title first, and Ziggler goes, no, it's actually a person who grabs the title first, loses the title.
It's opposite day, Drew. Ross, if we do a spoiler warning, can we talk about the thing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll wave my hands while I'm speaking about the spoiler. It was posted from an official WWE Facebook thing. Apparently it's going to be TLC. This was the leaked spoiler thing, so that's what that is. So, yeah. Whether it is that or not, I have no idea.
That was amazing. That was so good.
I don't care about the match, but I like that.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I need to say something else about it.
Go on, Jack. What were you going to say about the spoiler?
If it is that, that's really weird because they've already got a pay-per-view named that. So I don't understand. Yeah.
That would make no sense, yeah. That would make no sense whatsoever.
Mm. Believe the leaks. Believe the leaks.
Oh, that's my favourite thing we've ever done.
But what do you think? I think we've got an Extreme Rules pay-per-view here without an Extreme Rules match. So logic would dictate you would pick an Extreme Rules match. But I agree, something that would maybe ban the Claymore kick, something like that, but in his favour would make the most sense because he's a heel. But maybe a lumberjack match where he brings back all these people from Drew's past that Drew hasn't rang when they've been released by WWE or something like that. You know, maybe when he left ICW, he didn't give Grado a ring, so Grado's at ringside. Jinder comes back with his casts on or whatever's wrong with him at the minute because he's broken all of his limbs. Who else is from Drew's past? Vince McMahon's at ringside. I don't know.
Slater, but he was already there, but Slater. Yes.
I was going to say, my pick would be they rip off a great angle that WXW did where Dolph goes, all right, lads, here's the stipulation. He goes, what is it? He goes, three-way dance. He goes, what? And then Heath Slater comes out. And now he has this like, haha, you hit me with that move on Raw, so I know how to counter it or something, some logic there. I know when it's coming. And so he goes, oh yeah, tries doing it, moves out of the way. And he's like, oh my God, you're my exact equal now.
I want it to be true though. I want Heath to win the belt. Why would Ziggler be so kind?
Heath's now on on Drew's side, isn't he? Sorry, after Raw.
Yeah,
you're right. I forgot about that bit.
No, it doesn't have to make sense. It's fine. It doesn't have to.
Someone's losing an eye on Sunday, Matthew.
Yeah. Who do we think is losing the eye, by the way?
Ray. To write him off. Yeah.
But he's already got one bad eye, so he'll do like in the Kill Bill fight, he'll take out the other eye because that mask's already got an eye patch over it. So he'll be going, And that's it. Ray will just be wandering around backstage like this, like he's doing spoilers on a podcast. And then Dolph Ziggler's about to pin Drew McIntyre. And then Ray comes to the ring. Hey, can anyone help me? And then he'll just accidentally like break up the pin.
Do you reckon there's a chance for some ultimate poo-housery from WWE, though? Just the amount of times they've gone, the only way to win is by extracting your opponent's eye from their head. Giving them the chance to do a no contest or something crap like that.
How do they get around it?
Horrible CGI work, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
The worst CGI work you've ever seen. An eyeball bouncing around the ring and Seth Rollins or whoever loses picks up a paper mache one. Ah, my eyes, God!
Yeah.
All that crap.
It's like enormous. It's like, wow, this is genuinely an eye.
Yeah. Like the Neversoft logo at the start of Tony Hawk.
They'll do a Disney crossover with Mike Wazowski. Ha ha, Seth, I've got your eye all along. Ha ha! That's how he speaks.
Yeah. I know.
It's just
I know
a fried egg.
Another big question's about the Ziggler match, but I really can't wait for this eye for an eye. I really am. I'm bought into it. It's going to be amazing. Imagine hitting a sling blade on someone when you've got to pull their eye out. They're going to be hitting moves on each other.
Makes no
sense. Oh, dear,
good.
Mate.
Good psychology here in this eye extraction match.
What? Do you think there'll be a scene or a bit where there's like a 619 set up and they're like, if he 619s him hard enough, his eye will fly out of his skull?
Yeah, how do you extract an eye?
Yeah.
Has anyone, because obviously you've seen things about people keeping people in rooms and they're gouging eyes out. There's that YouTube channel that deals with all horrible stuff like that. My girlfriend likes it, it's weird.
Oh,
bloody hell.
People gouge out. How do you gouge out an eye? Do you need a tool or can it just be...
It's like a giant pimple. You're like, yeah. There you go.
Didn't Haku do it once, or was that someone's teeth or tongue?
He said he took out... what's that guy's name? Oh, I forgot his name. Was it Hoss Funk?
I don't know.
Gross. Everyone have a discussion amongst themselves?
Are you actually going to Google it?
No. Hoss Funk was Dory Funk Jr.'s rename. Who's the other guy?
All these old stories
Haku,
get mixed up.
Aye.
All these old stories get mixed up in my head. It's like...
Oh, Jimmy Jack Funk, the other Funk brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's in my head, it's like, didn't Haku once pull out Shawn Michaels' eye when he was a Marine and got stabbed with scissors in a hallway? They're all just meld together in my mind, all of these backstage fight stories.
And he's looking around trying to find it. He goes, where's my eye? Knocks on the door and there's Andre the Giant filling up a bathtub full of poo.
Yeah.
It's all merged together eventually, don't they?
The one that I always forget about is the Booker T apparently battered Batista.
I've heard that, but Finlay did that interview with Kayfabe Commentaries where he went, who said that? Did Booker T like ring up Meltzer and say this is how it went down? He went, no, it didn't happen that way.
Who's that?
I'm sure
background?
If he asked Booker T, that's exactly what he'd say.
It's Jericho getting Goldberg in a headlock while Haku pulls... I just can't... It's just there's so many now, I can't separate them.
What a great video that would be, just Haku. Like, where's that eye gone? He's all the urban myths. Well, maybe not all of them, but... What was that one about... was it Dick Slater? I think Sting had driven his lass to the arena about checking. He found out. Sting was putting on his makeup. I think Dick just beats him up, puts his head in the toilet, gives him a swirly, and then Sting's like, all right, I deserve that. And then goes back to putting on his makeup as if nothing happened. That's a good one. Oh, Simon Grimm and the three-way dance, him, Sin Cara, and a Coke can.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I listened to one recently that's my favourite from outside of wrestling. Have you heard, you're an MMA person, Matthew, you like a bit of the UFC. Yeah.
Go on.
Have you
like MMA on point.
Yes, they're good. Have you heard Forrest Griffin talk about his fight with Anderson Silva?
Go on.
It's just a radio show where they're like, Forrest, there's a caller who goes, Forrest, I've heard that you're fighting John Jones soon. And Forrest goes, I hope I'm not fighting John Jones. He'd kill me. And then they ask him about when he lost to Silva. And if you've not seen the fight, Silva just deals with him so easily. And he's just laughing at himself going like, he punched me in the face. And I was very confused. And then I tried to punch him and he looked at me like, you slow, slow white boy. What are you? It's just really good. It's a really funny little interview.
Oh, thank you. I'll have to check that.
Yeah.
I like the story Mark Morrow tells where he's like, he found out Sable had cheated on him. He's like, what? Who is it? I'm going to kill. Oh, I'm going to beat him up. I'm a Golden Gloves guy. Me, I'm Mark Morrow. I'm hard as out. Brock Lesnar. And was it the word was, I've never felt the power of forgiveness so strongly at that exact moment. Well, we'll end up with it. Ross, what's your favourite backstage fight story?
Oh, God. I don't know where to start with that one. Jericho is the one that always pops up in my mind just because it's Jericho and he's taking on these lads who are much bigger than him. Lesnar and Goldberg and people like that. Allegedly.
And Sebastian Bach.
Yeah. Is he bigger than Jericho?
Oh, yeah.
I like how the start of that seems to be Sebastian Bach being sick of being called, like, looking like Jericho. I've had enough of this.
Yeah. Good times.
So it's going to be a ladder match, is what I reckon.
Yes, there we go. No. Combine the two things. I'll just challenge him to a shoot match. Start scrapping.
Imagine if it's like a comedy off or something like that.
Oh, God, no, that might happen. That might be real, Ross.
I've seen Dolph Ziggler on a comedy off, and he was quite funny. He was on some sort of American TV show, but he was actually quite good. Spitting some bars at this lassie, so he was.
Yeah. Oh, that might be it.
I don't want it. I don't
What a way to end the show on a downer, Russ. Anyway. No, that'd be good. You want to see a punchline? Yeah. And he punches him.
Hey.
Oh, Christ. All right. Okay. Thank you very much for listening and watching and enduring the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast. Jack, what have you got for us, the local and loyal viewers, on the channel this week?
Well, next week on Wednesday, every Wednesday, I'll plug it again. Me and Owen are doing our Football Manager streams. It's been a good start to the season. So get on board before the hype train leaves the station. Choo choo.
Moo moo. Ross, what have you got for us?
I think I'm starting my Twitch stream. I haven't been told otherwise, so I'm guessing this is still happening. My FIFA Career Mode Twitch stream starts tomorrow, Friday. Well, now. It might be happening right now as this podcast goes live. Friday evenings going forward, I think I'll be taking... I don't know what to start. I've seen other FIFA gamers start with a big team and make them better, start with a League 2 team and take them to the Premier League. I don't know how to deal with this one. So, yeah, that'll be happening. That's what I've got coming up. Yourself, Matthew? Any podcasts?
You should pick Darlo and then try and keep him out of liquidation for a few months.
Will they be on FIFA? I doubt it.
Just make them. get a Game Shark or an Action Replay and just make them. I have not started Twitch yet. I'm waiting for our illustrious leader to tell me when and where and how to do it. And I would need someone to tell me which games to play because I play a lot of them. Jesus. But it'll be happening soon, maybe. And until then, I have nothing else apart from me and Tom Campbell and Justin Henry. I've met up and done WrestleMania 2000. Beg your pardon. Watch along. For any spoilers, WrestleMania 2000, the show, has not aged well at all. Heartbreaking.
Apart from Bobby Cannon.
Apart from... Dude, no joking. He's one of the top three matches on that show.
Yeah.
Easily. That leg drop, man. And that's all we have time for this week. Thank you very much for enjoying... And you can, of course, support us by going to patreon.com/cultaholic for the Hall of Fame and sending us in your lovely letters and lovely surnames to mailbag@cultaholic.com. But for now, we're going to end the show as we always do. Please put your hands, if you've got one, up to your webcam or your screen or whatever. We can't see you, so you can hold up wherever you're done well, please. Up there and on the count of three, 1, 2, 3, join us.
Join us.
Wow, Cameron Grimes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.